I specifically prepared this message for last Sunday. You'll see what I mean by that immediately. And I wondered if the Lord would keep it on my heart to feel led to bring it to you today. And He has. And I pray it'll be a blessing, and I pray this will be a help. Acts chapter 12, I'd like for us to look at one word in particular. This word is mentioned only one time in the Scripture. Just one time. That doesn't seem like much. But even though it's only mentioned one time, if God put it in the canon of His holy word, just one time, it bears an eternal weight of importance. If God mentions anything one time, that one word one time will never fail. Not one word that He has declared will pass away. So we're about to see something of eternal importance. And I pray that we'll be able to see what this word truly means. And specifically, I pray we'll see what it means for us, for me, individually. The word is in verse 4, but let's begin reading in verse 1. Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison to deliver him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after, and here's our word, Easter, to bring him forth to the people. They were going to put Peter on trial, intending to sentence him to death. But they put him in prison to hold him for a while because they didn't want to do it on Easter. Easter was a day, verse 3 says, days, then were the days of unleavened bread. Easter was a feast ordinance that the Jews kept every year. And the reason they did is because God told them to. If you go with me to Leviticus chapter 23, it says in Leviticus 23, verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, in the 14th day of the first month at even, is the Lord's Passover. And that's what the word Easter means. When you look up the word Easter, it translates Passover. That is another word for Passover. Easter is in the Scripture only one time, but it translates Passover, which is all through the book, all through the Word of God. Verse 6 says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. And that's what we just read in Acts chapter 12. Then were the days of unleavened bread, the feast of the Lord's Passover, Easter. God told Israel, He told the Jews to keep this feast every year for a remembrance, as a reminder of the Lord's Passover. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 14. It says, "In this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Verse 17, "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." God said, every year, I want you to observe this feast to remind you of my Passover. This will remind you of my Easter. And he told them how to observe the feast. And he said in verse 26, "It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Why are you doing this? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover." He said, I want you to observe this. So generation after generation after generation will remember my Passover, will remember my Easter. Why do we do things? Why do we do these things? Why does something exist? He said, when they ask why, you tell them, this is the remembrance of my Passover. So every year, Israel, according to God's commandment, observed the Feast of the Passover. Our Lord even observed the Feast of the Passover. Our Lord Himself observed the Feast of the Easter. Okay, turn with me over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that this is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Verse 40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." And every year our Lord went with them. Verse 42 says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." He went every year, all the way up into his adulthood, even through the 3.5 years of his ministry. Every year. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." Now, I want to go right into the point of this message. I want to get right to the spiritual point by considering these two things. Number one, what was the Passover? What was the Passover? It was not a feast. That's important to understand. It was not a celebration of an annual feast. The feast was the remembrance of the Passover. What was the actual Passover? And number two, what was the significance of it concerning God's people? What did it mean for God's people? What did it do for them? What mean ye by this service? The answer to that begins right here. Luke 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What is he saying in that? What does he mean, before I suffer? Turn with me over to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, our Lord is on trial before Pilate. And verse 38 says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Why did the Jews have a custom that one should be released and another should die? Why did they have a custom that one should be released and another should die? That has everything to do with the Passover. Look at John 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Do we understand the significance of that? Here he is. For certain clarity, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. You have been unleavened in what this feast of unleavened bread represents. It says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. John the Baptist was the one that God chose to declare to the world who Christ was, why he came, and what he was going to accomplish. John pointed to Jesus Christ and cried, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. all of the sin of all of the people that God the Father chose throughout the whole world. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue on this earth. Behold the Lamb of God. He is the one who is going to take away the sin. How did he do that? How did he do that? As God's Passover lamb, how did he save his people from certain death because of their sin? We can see that answer in the actual event of the Passover. All right, we are going to read what took place in the actual Passover and what God said concerning it. And as we read this, let's remember that the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. This Lamb is Jesus Christ. All right, go with me to Exodus 12 again. God said that he was coming through the land to slay the firstborn in every single house, because of the sin that had been committed against him. Every single house. But he said in chapter 12, verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." Every man, woman, boy, or girl needs this lamb. Everybody needs this lamb. Verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." This is the person and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, the first begotten. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." All the people killed this lamb. The whole congregation. Verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Your lamb must be slain. Your lamb's blood must be shed. And your lamb's blood must cover, it must be all over the door of your house. It must cover the posts of the door of your house. This physical body is our earthly house. We came into it and we're going to go out of it by the door of our soul. And God said the only hope that we have of being spared is if the blood of our lamb covers our soul. It must be all over, top to bottom. Every house who is going to be spared. It must be. Verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire." Your lamb must suffer the fire of God's wrath. It must. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. Leaven represents sin. It represents pride. It puffs up. It represents man's works. And God said, man is not going to take any part in this. Christ is the sacrificed lamb. Christ is the heavenly bread that was broken. And it was all because of the bitter herbs of the sin of his people. Verse 8 says, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw. Your lamb must endure the fire. He keeps saying that over and over again. Your lamb must endure the fire. Your lamb must endure the fire. Your lamb must endure the fire. If there's any hope for you, your lamb must endure the fire. Without that, there's no salvation. And the same is true concerning Christ, our lamb. If he did not endure the fire for us, there's no salvation. Verse 9 says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. This work he accomplished, don't water it down. Verse 9 says, his head, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. That means the head and the body together. Christ is our head and we're his body. When he died, all of his people died with him. Verse 10, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. None of it shall be wasted. None of it shall see corruption. Don't let any of it, not one piece of the body and not one drop of the blood. Verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That means today is the day. This cannot be put off until tomorrow. This cannot take a second priority to anything. This is the one thing needful. This is life and death. This is the Lord's salvation. This is the salvation that the Lord has provided. Verse 12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll Easter you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. He said, when I see the blood, one will be sacrificed and one will be set free. When I see that one has been sacrificed, one will be set free. One who did not deserve to be set free. One who is a sinner and deserves death for his sins will be set free. Why is that? It's because I'll provide a substitute. I'll provide a substitute, an Easter sacrifice, a Passover sacrifice, a bloody victim to die in his place, pay his debt, and set him free. What do you think Barabbas thought as he stood off watching Christ hang on that cross? That was Barabbas' cross. That one was made for Barabbas. As he saw his substitute, the one who died in his place, paid his debt, and set him free. That lamb was Christ. That Passover was all because of Christ. He was lifted up on a post. And God said, when I see the blood on the post, if that post is your post, if that cross is your cross, Barabbas thought, that's my cross. I know what I did to deserve that cross. I was sentenced to die on that cross. If it was your bitter sins that put the lamb there, and if that lamb was not just generally dying for other sinners who are out there, and that's what many, many people believe about Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, he died for sins, and he died for sinners, those who are bad people. We can all, it's just a general, it's a, no, no, no. If it's me and him, if he hung on my cross, if it was my sin who put him there, if that lamb was dying for me, if that's my substitute, if I see Gabe Stonecker in that lamb, God said, when I see his blood, I'll pass over you. If that blood is on your door, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. And I will not destroy you, because he was destroyed for you. Now that's an Easter. That is an Easter. That is a glorious Passover. That is something to rejoice in. That's something to remember all the days of our life. We cannot close this message without mentioning this. Every physical Passover lamb that was slain at a Passover feast, they did it every year. Every year. And every family had a lamb. How many? Every physical Passover lamb that was slain died and remained dead until the very last Passover sacrifice was held. The very last one. The very last God-commanded Passover sacrifice was held on the cross of Calvary. That was the very last one. That's why we do not hold a feast anymore. Otherwise, we would be taking our vacation time from work to go to Jerusalem once a year and observe a feast. But we don't do that anymore, because the very last Passover sacrifice was held on the cross of Calvary. We read in Luke 22 where our Lord said, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Why? Because it's the very last one. There is going to be no more death after this. This is it. It's finished. No more death. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Had they accomplished redemption, wouldn't they have stopped sacrificing? Verse 2, then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That means our Passover lamb has risen. That's what it means. He lived, he died, he redeemed, he accomplished a Passover for his people through the grave. But this Passover lamb has risen from the very grave he lay dead in. Verse 13 says, From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has risen from his work of substitution and salvation. He is now exalted in the heavens, seated on his throne, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, our Passover. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John said, I looked, and lo, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb, as it had been slain. A Passover lamb. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to observe this table in remembrance of him. In remembrance of him. The one who the Passover points to. Because he was the one who accomplished God's Passover, God's appeasement, by sacrificing himself. Let's take this bread and take this wine, remembering the body and the blood of Christ, our substitute lamb.